This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year, I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Welcome back to the Lads Podcast, where we're all about the big engines, the big yarns, and even bigger adventures.
And speaking of adventures, a massive shout out to Jai and Brendan at Black Cat Civil. Without them, none of this would be possible.
That's right. Thanks to Black Cat Civil, we had the unreal opportunity to capture our 2025 Tats Fink Desert Race, and mate, what a ride.
Absolute chaos in the best way. We also teamed up with the legends at Peak Productions to capture the whole experience. From the racetrack, in the pits, behind the scenes, pretty much all the highs and lows of racing.
Yeah, that's right, Stiffy. And now we've got a three-part series coming live for our subscribers over on Patreon. So if you want to see the dust, the dramas, and a few too many questionable decisions, jump over there and check it out.
You will definitely feel like you are riding shotgun with us. So jump onto our Facebook or Instagram page to find the Patreon platform link in our bio.
So again, a massive thanks to Black Cat Civil and Noel from Peak Productions for making this all happen. Rightio, let's get into today's episode.
Yo!
I want to thank me. I want to thank me for believing in me. I want to thank me for doing all this hard work. I want to thank me for having no days off. I want to thank me for never quitting. I want to thank me for always being a giver and trying to give more than I receive. I want to thank me for trying to do more right than wrong. I want to thank me for just being me at all times. Snoop Dogg, you a bad motherfucker, God.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to another special edition to the Don River Dash.
Yes, it is.
Mate, we've got fucking beers flying and legends trying. Trying not to stack it, let's rip in.
Oh, well done, Barney.
Thank you.
Fucking welcome to the show, mate. Well done. And tonight is a fucking very special episode. We are live from the Don River Dash on Thursday night. Things are about to kick off. Tomorrow morning, we've got shit sorted. First of all, though, we've got some guests on board.
Mate, we do. We've got Toto and we've got Jai on.
Yeah, Todd and Jai from Black Cat Civil. Guys, welcome to Don River again.
Thanks, mate. Thanks, fellas. Yeah, thanks for having us on.
Mate, fucking obviously, This is my first trip up here for the Don River. And, mate, I'll tell you what a show you guys put on. Like, actually, fucking, mate, the whole...
Before we get too much into it, we've already forgotten. We've got to crack some cans.
Oh, we do have to crack some tins. Yeah, let's do it.
Where's it? You got the fridge?
Because we haven't been doing any.
Righto. Now, we'll go around the room. I'll crack first.
Oh, yeah.
Fucking solid. Yeah, pretty good there, Barney. Yeah. Right, Jai, crack it off.
Give us your best one.
Oh, just a fucking quickie.
Is that it?
Yeah, you've done it before.
That's a quickie.
You got a day ferret too.
Smashed it. Yeah. All right, Toto.
Give it some.
Put some chili on it.
Yeah, bruz. Oh, well done. Yeah.
Righto, he looks a bit like fucking Dobbo or fucking, what's that, Lord of the Rings, fucking cracking that one, didn't he? So we'll go back through that.
So we are live from the Don River Dash 2025. This is not our first rodeo, guys. Let's go through it.
It's been a few years. Was it 2020 the first year?
I'm thinking it was for us because I think they started this race in 2019, that very first one. We didn't even know the fucking thing existed until after the event. We've seen it on socials. We're like, wouldn't that be fucking sick?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you put it out to us and said, look, we can't go to the Fink Desert race because of the COVID.
Yeah.
and you said, hey, guys, I've found this race up in Blowen.
Yeah.
Blowen.
Yeah.
Blowen, Blowen.
Blowen, Blowen. And it never disappoints. Yeah. It's always windy here. And you said, let's give it a crack.
Let's go.
300 Ks over 2 days, 150 Ks a day in the Don River.
Yeah.
Bit of sand. Let's go.
It's fucking upper.
So 2020 we came up.
2020 we came up. Was it just us three and Bretto?
Think
the
so.
The first trip?
Yeah.
And that was one trip that I'll never forget because there's a lot of stories that we might get into back there. But anyone that's listening, the Don River Dash is located in Bowen, Queensland. What a spot to have a racetrack. And the racetrack itself. Let's have a chat about the racetrack. It's a unique racetrack in Australia, isn't it?
It's brutal.
So yeah. Everyone knows the Fink Desert Race in the middle of the fucking desert. And people have seen it on TV. This Don River Dash probably isn't as highlighted as Fink, but yet it's fucking up there, isn't it? So what's your thoughts on the track, lads?
Well, it's brutal. It's fucking brutal. You get out there and you pre-run it. You think, this is all right. This is okay. And then they send the trucks out, you know. Well, you do your sight lap on the Friday and you think, this is fine.
Yeah.
No, it's not whooped up. There's a few water crossings. You hit it Saturday. Man, there's some water crossings on Saturday.
Yeah.
And then it starts to get whooped up and you're like, okay. Yeah, this is getting interesting.
Yes.
By Sunday, fucking hang on.
Yeah.
Hang on. It changes so much.
For anyone that doesn't know, so it's in actually a dry riverbed in Bowen.
Yep.
Thanks, Stiffy. Well, yep. Brought up, same you weren't.
Yeah, right.
And so as you guys are racing over the top of it, it's actually bringing the water up.
Correct.
So the track's getting wetter and wetter.
As the weekend goes on.
Yeah, but also they race trucks. So they race the trucks first, like the Fink Desert Race.
Yeah.
They sweep the track and then the bikes go out. So the track changes from when you pre-run on through the week, if you get a chance to pre-run, and then you do a sighting lap on the Friday, and then Saturday.
It's evolving.
You're like, okay, well, I know what the track looks like. The trucks go through, they whoop it up.
Yep.
They smash those water crossings. And the water crossings get deeper and deeper and deeper over the weekend.
Yeah.
And Sunday comes, it's a whole nother race on Sunday.
So it's evolving absolutely. The whole time.
And it's evolving even in our bike race every lap. Because you come through a section, you're like, right, I fucking nailed that. You come back the next lap and
tight
it's
lines.
It's fucking changed again, hasn't it?
It has, yeah.
So what has actually changed? So obviously you've been doing it for a few years now. So from the very first one, what are you changing on the bikes? What are you evolving? What are you doing?
Not a great deal.
Mm.
We're making sure we put new tyres on. We evolved.
I see you got a few fucking paddle tyres on, yeah.
The first year we ran the Fink Desert tyres thinking that we need a big, heavy, hard carcass wide tyre on the rear. And we couldn't get the shift between fourth and fifth. So we'd be wringing its neck in fourth, and then when we go to fifth, we just didn't have that momentum to continue to
hold that up,
to hold that speed. So that was challenging for us, and then we learned, okay, we need to run a skinnier tyre on the rear, and then we shifted to the paddle tyre, I think a year or two later.
More of a sand tyre.
So a sand, not a paddle tyre, a sand tyre.
Yeah.
And then you could get the grip, but it evolves.
Yes, absolutely it does. Mm.
Yeah.
Every lap, every day, evolving.
Yeah. So it's three laps, and you pit each time, each lap. So you pit twice over the three laps.
Yeah.
So you go into the pits, you get some fuel, you get a bit of energy, a bit of lollies, whatever you need, check over the bike, and you go back out. So what are we talking like? What time you doing, Toto? I mean, I could share my times, which are pretty quick, but
I think we were like 35, maybe.
Yeah, for the first lap, and then it goes into 25 for the second. you jump into the 40s.
Yeah.
That's how we run into the 40s. Yeah. The top runners are running 25.
Oh yeah.
And 28s, I think, in that second and third lap. So,
you're in the veterans class.
Yeah, I'm in the old man veterans class. Yeah.
So Toto's racing this year. Jai's not racing this year, are you?
They needed a support crew.
Yeah, and a good one too.
Yeah,
so,
I got booted to the side because there wasn't too many people that could support it like me. So to be the best, Toto said, look, I need a really good support crew this year because I want to take that trophy back.
So you sacrificed it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, definitely. And like as a team for us, like when we came up the first year, we touched on that. It was kind of like just us three and Bretto as our crew chief, right?
Yeah.
But look around now to 5 years later. 5 years? 5 years later. The amount of people. This is number six.
Yeah.
Okay. Fucking hell. 6 years later then, it's turned into not just a race for us lads anymore. It's more of a, what do you call it? More of a getaway, more of a holiday, more of bring the family along.
There's a lot of family here. There's a lot of everything. Sort of, as I sort of, I had no expectations turning up here. And I know there'd be a pretty big show on that. But like there's caravans, there's barbecuing. Fucking Jai's put on a fucking big fucking feed of steaks and a bit of rice and there's cooking,
from the first year we used to cook on a fucking one of those little gas stove things and just wing it really and a little dirty.
This podcast is sponsored by Talkspace.
Last year I went through many different life changes. I needed to take a pause and examine how I was feeling in the inside to better show up for the ones who need me to be my best version of myself.
When you're navigating life's changes, Talkspace can help. Talkspace is the number one rated online therapy, bringing you professional support from licensed therapists and psychiatry providers that you can access anytime, anywhere.
Living a busy life, navigating a long-distance relationship, becoming a first-step father, Talkspace made all of those journeys possible. I could speak with my therapist in the office. I could speak with my therapist in the comfort of my home. I was never alone.
Talkspace works with most major insurers, and most insured members have a $0 copay. No insurance, no problem. Now get $80 off your first month with promo code SPACE80 when you go to Talkspace.com. Match with a licensed therapist today at Talkspace.com. Save $80 with code SPACE80 at Talkspace.com.
Oleski, and now look at us. We've actually got a full-size campsite. And everyone, like your family's come like here now, Todd.
Yeah.
And Jai, your family's coming up tomorrow.
Flying tomorrow.
Yeah, correct. So it's turning more into a destination. And like it's just mind-blowing that, you know, we started this 6 years ago and it's now at a point where fucking everyone loves the adventure, loves getting away. And the camaraderie between all of us and our crew and our family, it's just fucking phenomenal.
Yeah, one of the good things is sitting around here but being able to hold the camp in the one spot. And it's few events like this that we get to pretty much set up camp and leave from here, go into the river, race the day, or go and do pre-running or whatever, and we've got our base camp set up.
Correct. So Todd and Joy, give us a bit of a rundown of this racetrack, the feature of it, how we don't get out of the river and how we get there. So give us a bit of an idea on, for our listeners, what it sort of looks like for them. As, you know, explain how we line up out the side here as the weekend goes along.
Well, there's no prologue or qualifying, so there's no set place that you will start into the river. The timing, so we take off from the showgrounds and the timing loop actually starts. So we take off, from the bitumen, from the showgrounds, we ride down the road.
A little more of a transportation leg.
Yes, yep. And as soon as we hit the first timing loop, which enters the sand, well, then that's when the race actually starts. Yep. So they let us off in groups of,
12 or so, 15.
12 to 15.
Single file.
They let the legs go. Yep. There's multiple legs, and they have a timing gap between those. But as soon as you hit that sand, it's up to you whether you want to be out in front or you want to be chewing that sand for those three laps.
Yep. And the racetrack is unique. Once you drop into that river, you're not coming out, are you? For the whole lap.
Well, I mean, we've ridden on sandy tracks. We've ridden Fraser Islands.
Yep.
We've ridden Rainbow Beaches, all that stuff to practice for races like the Fink Desert Race.
Yeah.
And the Don River Dash. But there's nothing like this because the sand, I don't know, it's grittier and it's actually quite heavy.
Yeah,
so
it is.
You don't get up on the plane. So we bog down in it a lot. So you need a lot of power to get up on the plane and a lot of speed. So then with more speed, it becomes quite dangerous.
It does.
Because it's high. 100%. It's a high-speed race.
Yeah, and speeds we're talking about, it's excessive over 100 kilometres an hour, isn't it? In some sections, what are you thinking? We're hitting 120, 130 at some sections, and the pro guys are probably even more.
Yeah.
For sure.
Yeah, they're at 140 or something like that.
Yep.
They're scooting along. But the other thing is, when these bikes come around you, and we get passed.
Yeah.
And we get passed by the top runners after you know, lap two or three.
Yeah,
or
that's right.
You get sprayed.
You might.
And I get passed. So when they come around, and then, you know, I pass them back because they run out of talent, but that's okay. They fucking spray you with the grittiest sand, and you're nosing down. Yeah. You're getting sandblasted. Yeah. So, and generally, they'll come around you and then jump straight in front of you and grab your line, and you're like,
that's mine. So, yeah, the sand. Take it back.
So it is,
yeah. And the sand carries as well. So yeah, the sand will not, carry 40 meters.
When you think
meters.
Of sand, so when people say it's sand, fine. It's like fucking. I'm thinking Fraser Island, beach sand and stuff like that. Mm. This stuff is like Stiffy showed me a few photos, and it looks like he had chicken pox. Like there's big red fucking dots all over him. She's coarse river sand, this stuff.
Yeah,
very coarse river.
It's proper.
Yeah.
It welts you up and it's out. We'll show you a few photos
tomorrow night. So.
Yeah.
Todd, there was a photo of you that you were talking about today.
Yeah.
And you actually like this photo because from the previous year, like a lot of enduro, moto, you get given, if you're in the top 20, you get given the top 20 plates. So if you place first in that year, you get the first plate, and then right through to 20th. And there's a photo of you, Todd, that you're talking about today. Yeah. Talk us through. Oh, that from last year, I think.
From last year. So there's multiple people or photo...
Media people
on the side of the track, and they're taking these mad photos. So we'll be scanning through Facebook looking for the best photo for the weekend that these guys have taken. They're taking 300 odd plus photos a day, you know. Mm. And so we're scanning through, and one of them is when 787 is in front of number one, and I'm poking along, and you can see number one is just fucking gaining on me. The photo tells a story.
Absolutely.
But I don't mind because you're at in front. That time, that photo shows that I am in. I am beating number
you're
one.
In control.
No one knows that he was lapping me.
Yeah. A photo tells a thousand words, and fucking Toto's telling those thousand words. So
I want to get that printed off and put it in my office.
Yeah. I think you should. It would look good.
So this race, this racetrack is very unique. And every time we come away, not only do we have a fat time and, you know, like our slogan is we get out of our head and we get in the shed and get out of our head. This is like with the reality of our world, our workplace, our the things that are going on in our lives, we can kind of nearly almost switch off and just enjoy a week end away racing and help everyone out that's racing as well. But run me through a few... like moments that we've had over the years, and maybe was it the first year, Todd, when we had an issue with your bike? Was that the first year?
Yeah, that was the first year. I recall we were doing the oil change back at Jai's, all three of us. We'd done the gold valve
on the suspension,
and then we thought we better do an oil change on these things. So we're in Jai's shed, and fuck, we're cracking tins. Yeah. We're up. And so I'm dropping oil out, and everything's going on, and we're nipping up. They're dual sump plugs, these, one in the gearbox and one on the engine there. So I've screwed it. Yeah, mate, yeah. And I've screwed the gearbox one in and done that up. No, I think I've screwed the engine one in, nipped that up with me fingers, and then nipped the gearbox one up, and that was it. We filled it up, and yep, boys, we're good to go. And you're lucky I didn't bloody do that to your bikes. But anyway, so we come out here pre-running for the first... might have been a Wednesday. It might have even been a Tuesday.
We're up here early.
Yeah. Let's get here and, let's do some pre-running. So we get in there and I don't think we'd done, 7K, Joy?
Well, what typically happens is you put the helmet on, like you have a bit of a yarn before you jump on the bike. Like we'll just go and cut a lap. It was 50Ks, 25Ks up the river, 25Ks back. We'll just go for a bit of a ride. Yeah. The helmet goes on. You have a look around. You're like, I'm going to fucking ring this thing. So I'm poking along. Toto jumped into the river after me.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking, all right, I'm getting a bit of a feel here. Toto just comes past me, ringing his bike. Ringing his neck. Right?
Joking.
I'm like, oh, this feels good. I'm home.
How's this joker? He is just up it. Like, here we are, going for a bit of a ride, and he's just fucking fanged it past me. I'm like, all right, no worries. Mm. All right, all good. And it was only a few Ks down the track where I've still got the picture in my head where he's just laying down in the sand, looking at his bike, just wondering how he did not nip up that sump plug.
I could see oil running out and the sump plug's missing, but there's oil running out on the site.
Oh, no.
Fuck? I was fanging next to it, just like, and just pulls up to a full stop.
Yeah, she's seen
in the sand.
Yep.
Yeah. So, you haven't let me live that down.
Absolutely not. No.
And it's not only when we turn up to this event. It is multiple times throughout the year.
Absolutely.
Yeah, have you done that sub plug up, bro?
So, that all goes on. So.
But that's going to be the first thing I say to you tomorrow morning when you actually go out. So. Yeah.
But talking about adapt and overcome, like, what did we do about it? You know, we didn't give up, did we?
Nah.
Fuck no.
No, mate, you were awesome. We, you've schematicked all the parts, and we ripped it down. We're like, fuck, we need new piston. We need.
Oh, he's rebuilt it.
What we did you rebuilt find? It. We, but
was the piston okay?
Nah, she's melted.
Piston cylinder.
It scored the ball.
Couple of valves were bent.
Top end. See ya.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, bent valves and everything. Yeah,
the whole lot.
So that.
So you did a proper job.
Oh, mate. You don't half
fucked it.
You don't half do the bung up, do you, bruv? So anyway, so most of the parts had to come out of Mackay.
Yeah,
and we'd ordered them on that day, and they were flying parts up overnight. And, but we could only get certain parts each day as different parts come out of different parts of Australia, I suppose. So. Yep. We were running down to Mackay. I think we did 3 trips down to Mackay.
Yep.
And as we come back, we would rebuild that little bit bit until we got it running. And we didn't. We kicked it in the.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Saturday morning
at like 1 o'clock or something. Race started Saturday.
Yeah.
Yeah. And everyone that was walking around the pits were just like, oh, you know, these guys have got a bit of trouble, a bit of stress going on. And we're like, yeah, no, we'll be right. Hey, we'll get there.
We'll get through
it. The moment that bike fired up into life, it was just one of those moments that I remember from our first trip of, righto, that was all about adapt and overcome and just like whatever fucking happens, there's ways of fixing things and ways of moving forward and getting things right.
Yes.
Yeah. And we did it.
We did it. And we did the sump plug up. We put oil in it and we kicked it in the guts. And what happened? Fellas, what happened that year? I don't think we had the trophy because we started that in 2021. So
yeah,
and you guys are like, fuck yeah, we got you running, cool. And then what happened?
Tell me, I beat both of them. Oh, did ya?
Yeah,
that was 2020, wasn't it?
Yeah, I cartwheeled and broke a couple of ribs that year.
Yeah.
I didn't finish.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. Oh yeah, you got.
So
out
it's
of
not
three
about
laps.
Your ribs, Stiffy. Yeah. It's about fucking Toto's victory.
So anyway, he ended up blowing his fucking bike up on the fucking pre-run,
and
he won.
Fixed it,
and he won the whole weekend.
Yeah.
I think there's still, if we go over to that shed over there, when I got back, I just lit this thing up and burnt that tyre out.
Did it burn it?
Sponsored by Joy. And just fucking blew that tyre to bits.
Yeah. There'd be still burnout marks over there. Yeah. We'll have to go have a look this year. Absolutely. And that's what it's about, eh? Like, whether it's going fishing, going bike riding, whatever it may be, when you go away with the lads, the mates, and the group that we've got like here, and the group's grown. Like, we're just talking about us three right now, but... Look around, we've got our sons have raced, like Zeppi, and he's racing this year. My son raced last year. And then we've got friends, like we've got Spartan, Jacko, and who else has run this event?
I've got a couple of mates that have turned up this year, fucking severely underprepped, but they'll race.
JR brings his crew every year. You know, it's just fantastic, and it's growing. And like you say, get out of your head, into the shed, and... And that's part of the focus, the goal focus throughout the year. And you're always looking forward to this Don River Dash because we've done it year in, year out.
Yeah. It's nearly even about the race, is it?
No, it's
about
not,
the
mate.
Fucking, it's about this.
Yeah. And it's about us all finishing too. Like it sucks if someone doesn't finish a race because after the race is done and dusted, when we get back here, we've got, you know, we've got that adrenaline rush racing through us. And it's like when you finish a race, you might not get first. You might get dead last, but if you finish the actual event, that feeling that we all have when we come back to here and actually crack a beer and tip it over our heads and being, you know, being fuckwits and whatnot, it's that feeling of fucking, oh, we've done it.
Yeah.
We've done it.
Yeah.
There has been a few years that things haven't gone well for us. Yeah. I know my first year I broke ribs and I DNF'd at day two. But yeah, there's other ones that have gone wrong too. So, Dry, you got any stories? Got any?
Yeah.
Look, 2021, we went and raced the Fink Desert Race, which is good. I felt really good. And again, these events start way before today. So we're prepping, we're doing gym.
Yeah.
We might be bike riding if we can get time to do that, but we're prepping our bodies, prepping our bikes, getting ourselves ready to go. So we went and ran Fink and felt really, really good. And I was only, Toto won that year, and I was only 5 minutes behind him. So over many hours, it's actually quite tight. So
yeah.
I was thinking, I've got him stitched up at the Don.
Yeah, you've got him.
I've got this trophy.
Yeah.
Because I don't have my name on the trophy, if you haven't noticed. But but I've been fucking close.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So 2021, I was poking along. I was feeling really, really good. And then I was wringing its neck, and there's a guy in front of me just in the roost just sandblast, you know, I've got this. I'll get around him. And the only thing, reflecting back from what happened, is I thought the only thing I could have done is shifted my body weight forward, because I was fanging it, and I changed my line. He was sitting on my line, and I thought, that's where I'm meant to be, but fuck it. I'm going to go outside here and lap him up. But I didn't get that far. I sort of ducked when I should have weaved. I ran out of talent, all of that stuff. And I fucking high-sided at probably 80 and landed pretty hard. So I broke my back in T4, yeah. 6 and 7. So, it was a little bit complex. So I think I got to drink water like 8 or 12 hours later. I was pretty parched, obviously, riding. I think I was on lap 2, day 1.
You're on lap 3.
Lap 3?
Yeah, you're on lap 3. Lap.
Thanks. That makes me feel way better.
Yeah. Because I know you blew past me. I went, fuck, he's on a mission today.
Yeah, I was on a mission. I mean, my name would have been on the trophy because I was leading at that point.
Yes.
Just to make a point. And I was in front.
Yeah.
But to finish first, you must finish. So that didn't happen.
Yeah.
And anyway, so they wheeled me out in the meat wagon. We went down, got some scans, and broke my back, ended up in a turtle shell for maybe 4 months or something.
Yeah.
So, that was a bit of recovery. And then when I got out of that turtle shell, I realized I fucking landed on my shoulder too. So that was a bit sore.
Yeah.
So a bit of rehab and a bit of gym. And I think the boys this year, a little bit fucking happy that I'm not racing because I'm looking pretty fit, you know. So.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah.
You are. Both of you are looking very fit.
Fucking Toto's looking extremely fit, actually.
And I do know you have been working out, like, as in the gym.
Yeah.
And even just whether it's for this race or not, how good is it getting in the gym just to, get rid of some of that stress or that mental issue, you know, whether you've got issues going on or whatever it is, but when you walk out of that gym, whether you're working towards fucking doing an Ironman competition or playing tennis or riding bikes in the Don River, doing that physical exercise, and it's so good, isn't it? Yeah, you guys do it in the mornings?
A bit of goal setting. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
It's good. We'll go down at 5 o'clock or 5:30 till 6:30. So we get to have a bit of a yarn and get together, and it's getting into that part of getting... It's good headspace to get that gym going in the morning, but it's good.
It sets the day. Obviously, I don't go to the gym, you can see that, but it sets the day. Like, if you go and do something or anything...
You're looking good, Barney.
If you, I am, you, aren't I?
Yeah.
Thanks for that, Joy.
Yeah, looking real good.
I'll tell you what, I'm going to look good. I'm going to look good walking away from this weekend without a set of nipple rings.
Yeah. Everyone does know at the moment the bet is on.
There's a bet on and there's fucking...
I've got a question. Why why is it one way and not the other? So if...
Oh, so do you reckon we should put it a two-way bet?
We need to.
Do you guys have any idea? Yeah. Like what should Stiffy do?
Nipple piss. The other... That, flip it.
Also... Oh... Do you? Yeah, so I reckon that's a fucking great idea.
I would rather do... I'll piss my nipples, but I'd rather do it for a better cause than what, coming second or third or last? Like,
no.
Something really decent. No.
Smell that
I
fear.
I've come up with a good idea. So
fear.
So if you don't win, I obviously don't get my nipples pierced.
Correct,
but
you're
out. Get yours nipples pierced.
No. You've got to achieve. Why? Because you're not achieving anything for me to get my nipple pierced.
I did. I fucking turned up. Yeah. Am I fucking here?
Once you achieve something, okay. I'll get.
I've achieved
nipples
something,
pierced.
So I fucking turned up. So I actually like that idea.
You'll have it. Okay. If that doesn't.
We should have a vote on it. Let's vote on it.
Oh,
so
yeah.
Let's put your hands up in the air. If Stiffy doesn't win the trophy.
I think we're having some technical difficulties here.
Oh, look at all the people out here too. So we've got a bit of a crowd here.
Sounds
so
like some technical difficulties.
I reckon. Yeah.
I think there's something going on there.
What do you reckon, Stiffy?
Right, something's got to happen.
We're live now, so
I'm not going to agree to that.
Why not?
Because it's not about me this weekend. Well, it is.
It is.
About your nipples.
You bought the trophy.
Yeah.
So anyway, let's get off that.
Should we or should we not?
Oh, there's a dick and balls on the fucking trophy. Right, trophy.
Oh,
let's talk about the trophy, guys.
Lucky Mart's around that, yeah. Didn't he?
The trophy is, he knows when to dance. The thing about this trophy is, run me through what it is, guys. What does this trophy represent to you guys?
Oh, look, it was, we've been racing and riding together for some years, and then we're bringing the young fellas up through, and it's just something to represent us as a bit of a team and us for a bit of goal setting, really.
Absolutely.
And as much as you don't think about the trophy, you do think about the trophy. You don't want to think about the trophy, but there's nothing you can think about but the trophy.
And you want to get your name on it.
My name's not on there, so I think about it. I fall asleep dreaming about the trophy.
Yeah. I think for me, it's...
Shop the Sherwin-Williams Winter Sale and get 30% off paints and stains January 9th through the 19th. Whether you're refreshing your interior or exterior, we've got the colors to bring your vision to life. And with delivery, getting everything to your door is easier than ever. Shop online or visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams store. Click the banner to learn more. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details. Delivery available on qualifying orders.
Exactly what you said, this trophy represents exactly what's going on here right now with the camaraderie of us and the guys that are racing and the families that have come up and make the effort to come and watch all of this event and support us. That trophy is significant to, if we're going to have a crack, we might as well have a crack and have something to chase. And like you said with the gym, is working towards goals and making yourself accountable for what you're set out to do in life or set out to do for a race. Mm. So now that trophy, it's amazing that you guys did this up because it's a fucking huge trophy to start with.
Mm. Yeah.
It's heavy as fuck. It's piss funny. And you're right, when you got your name on the trophy...
It's a bit of Bretto action.
When you got your name on the trophy.
Shout out to Bretto.
I was gutted that this trophy started when it did because,
Oh, here we go.
I wish it was earlier.
This would be a fucking story.
You know what? I would love my name on that trophy once, and it's happened. That was last year. Yeah. I did it.
Yeah.
And now it's just fuck, would love to get it again. Because it's like the chase, right? You get that, I'd love that trophy back.
Yeah, we talk about the chase, and there's four riders in contention for the trophy this year. We've got Toto, Steve the trophy winner, and we've got Jack and Zepp, two young fellas that are going to be hunting pretty hard. And the way I see it is there's three foxes and one rabbit.
Mm.
And Todd described it great today because we did a pre-run today. So I jumped in and the track was feeling pretty good, but we did a pre-run and Toto's saying, look, fellas, Steve's not here. We're going to be hunting him down like three foxes and we're going to be on point. And Steve's going to be out in front going sideways like a rabbit.
And we're going to be fucking just pedaling.
He's going to be swapping all over the track. trying to duck and weave.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I mean, the decider's going to be. And what are you guys, Todd?
It's a good banter, isn't it? Throughout the year.
It's good banter, but Stiffy, what is your strategy?
My strategy, actually, I kind of don't
want to. Good question.
You got the sand tire on the front.
He's been talking about a lot about the fucking.
We probably should talk a bit about
bike training.
For me, I think the strategy is you need to go hard. You need to take a few risks on Saturday. You need to come off Saturday in the lead.
Come off?
Come off the track in first place, as out of us. So
strategy.
I'm listening.
You do need to take those
else, Steve?
Those risks on day one. If you
that's
want,
different from coming out of the closet, so yeah. Come off is different
risk.
The best thing about being a 2-day race, if you come out of that racetrack on Saturday afternoon and you are actually in the lead, whether it's fucking 1 second, it doesn't matter, or whether it's 2 minutes. If you can go into Saturday night and Saturday afternoon have the bragging rights and put the pressure on everyone else, you've got that little bit of an edge on all day Sunday.
It's in your head, not in the shit.
So my strategy, I am going to push hard on Saturday and I'll take a few risks on Saturday.
Yes.
And Sunday will be an easier day. However,
the track's harder.
It depends.
If you're in front, but what happens if you're behind on Saturday?
On Sunday. Well, of course, your strategy's got to change. But at the same time, you've still got to finish that race.
Yeah.
So you can only run your own race at the same time. There's risk versus reward. If you take too many risks, you're going to end up on your head.
So pretty much what you're actually planning on doing is Stephen Bradbury.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
Well, Stephen Bradbury, but Stephen Tease, what about last year? You nearly didn't even get over the start line. What happened?
Yeah, mate.
So, there's a bit of action.
Yeah, last year I was out here.
You call
on the
it
front.
Action or strategy? Let's hear it.
Still calls
my
it strategy.
Let's find out what the spin he puts on.
My strategy last year was start dead last. Yeah, because the race does not start until you get down to the racetrack.
Yeah.
And if you start dead last, you've got an open track.
You had an open track.
So
didn't you?
I did. Yeah.
They nearly waved. The flag.
I went onto that track.
You're out.
Yeah.
How did you get to go last?
The bike had a failure.
Because you get a call, and you're in a lineup of 20 people, and if you don't make
240 riders,
you can get a DNS.
Did not start. So I was probably 3 seconds away from not actually competing last year. That's how close it was. When I went down to that timing loop, the ladies were looking at me going, "Who the fuck are you? Where did you come from?" So. I had to
turn. And you're like, phew. I just got through that one.
So I documented the
they
time.
Went who and you went?
Yeah,
phew.
Yeah.
I'm stiffy.
So last year it was a fuck up, but it was a good fuck up.
Yeah.
It allowed me to go into the track last. I did have a fucking that first.
What happened? Your bike wouldn't start.
Yeah, it wouldn't start.
That's a bit of fucking MotoGP fucking shit, though, isn't it?
Oh, Mark Marquez.
Mark Marquez.
Steve Marquez.
Yeah, fucking
Stevie. So who knows what strategy I've got this year. You know, I could have... what a strategy I told you before, that's probably 90% of my strategy.
Yeah.
We've all got bits and pieces that we're not going to say until it happens.
Ooh.
Talking about strategy...
It's fucking...
What about
he
the
really
what
a, wants to win?
What about
back
AP?
This year?
What an arm pump! Ooh, that's vicious.
What about your bike setup this year, Toto? Yeah. How's the strategy with the bike setup? I see you've got a few new parts on that bike.
Yeah.
And a few modifications done. So tell me about your bike this year.
The bike this year hasn't changed a lot from last year, but we changed some suspension today. So we've softened it up on a bit of rebound and compression on the front.
Here we go. Here's some hot tips.
You're not fucking
And on the rear,
don't tell him too much.
It was quite bouncy, so I have softened that up. So it rides a lot better. But I'll tell you the story. I ordered these new handlebars and I didn't realize
How come you needed new handlebars?
Because I was chasing you last year, and I caught you. Caught you on the
last lap, last day.
Yeah, and it took some hunting, and I thought if I catch you, in my mind of one, I knew I wouldn't get you.
Yeah.
Overall.
Yeah.
Because I'd had the mechanical.
Yep.
And. But
so you caught me.
So you had a tire fire, like a sprocket failure on day one.
Yeah.
And you lost a fair bit of time.
Yeah. Yeah, so
and then
when
Stephen
I,
Bradbury came
when I,
in.
When I turned down the other end, we're 25K or 20-odd K to the pit lane, and I could hear this banging, and I thought it was my front my front brake hitting on the spokes. And I thought, oh, that fucking lead's too long. Anyway, I'm like, it's banging. And I thought, oh, I'll just keep feeding it. And I pull into pit lane and they go to fuel me up. And this is lap two. And we're ready to get back on the bike. And they're like, you're not getting back on the bike. I've torn my sprocket. So it's a steel sprocket with an alloy outer. Mm. I had 2, 4, 6, 8 teeth.
Out of what, 50?
Out of 48.
Yeah, so it looked so like I lost 40 teeth. Someone from Logan.
Mm. Oh, mate. I looked like I'd been to the Ecker and I was a carny rolling out of town.
Yeah, so she's
they're like, where's the whizzer? You're over there on that ride.
Yeah. You're on the
fucking toothless carny. Yeah. So anyway, this guy had a WR and he wheels across and goes, you can take this wheel off this bike. So 7 minutes it took us to throw that wheel on. And,
so we got even a new set of dentures.
I got to complete the race, which was great. But yeah. I knew I'd be hunting you on day two.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Not only that, I had a 51
tooth
sprocket.
You're talking yourself
down
a lot. Mate, I reckon this year's your year.
It is.
It's your year. So you had that downtime. So what was it, 7, 8 minutes?
Mm.
So last year.
So then you caught Steve. Wait on. So you caught, just back on that, because
you caught Steve,
and you overtook him, and you're like, I've got this. I'm
I couldn't
like,
believe it. I come up behind him, and I seen him.
You were thinking, and I thought.
You need to think bigger.
You thought you were someone else. Who do you think you were?
The
David Walsh, Toby Price.
Oh, it was
you
all
were
of them.
Hanging off that bike.
It was all of them.
There's nothing can go wrong here. And what happened, mate?
Next minute, we were going through a bit of a water cross and we hit this soft, sandy shit and I'm flogging it and I'm like, there he is. Hey, Stiffy, there you go. And I looks down and here's this whoop section and I'm still fifth pinned and I went, oh, fuck. And I was spent by then. I was fucking spent.
Yeah.
I hit the whoop. I hit the first one. I'm like, just do what you do and rip that front wheel back and do a mono. Well, I didn't do what I did. The front just pushed down.
Yeah.
This thing just cartwheels in front of Steve. And I'm like, oh, how's this for a show, bro?
this,
if you want to stack beer, it, this is how this. You stack it. Well, the bike's flipped 3 or 4 times. I've just head nose into the sand. And I thought, oh, fucking pin myself here. I'm hurt. I'm fast. Fuck, I'm not going to be able to finish the race. Anyway, I'll never forget it. I'm shaking my helmet. It's full of sand, and I'm thinking, oh. And I don't know whether I'd pick my bike up by then, but Steve had turned around. He'd come back. Stevie's turned around, come back, and he's got, the first thing he says, are you all right? And I'm like, I'm okay. And he goes, what are you doing?
What were you thinking?
And I said, trying to catch you, Braz. He goes, get on your bike. We've got to finish this race. We literally had, I don't know, 10K to go.
It wasn't far. Yeah.
It was bugger all. And we had 10K to go. He goes, get on that. We're sending it home.
Yeah.
Because you knew you'd had the trophy by then.
Yeah, yeah.
You fucking
see, Todd had to finish 3 minutes in front of me to actually take the overall.
Yeah.
So even though he caught me,
that's
it was
why he went back.
Yeah. Steve's like, just let's ride together.
Yeah, yeah.
Together.
I did, yeah.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
But we did that. We rode together for a couple of K, and then I looked over at you, and you actually picked your pace up a bit. Like, you got your shit sorted. And I'm like, oh, Toto's keen for a bit of a run.
My bars are bent, my triple clamps.
Yeah, fucking. Yeah. Yep. And I'm like, oh, are ya? You want to go?
You want to go? And he just drilled me.
I just clicked it down a gear and fucking took off. I went, I'm going to the finish line, bros. I'll see you there. Fucking took off.
Yeah.
But no, you were busted. I think even your peak of your helmet was fucking peeled back. And there was fucking.
That's how I usually ride.
That was so funny.
Yeah. It was.
So you bent your bars, eh?
Well, I thought I bent my bars, so I got a new set of hangers, and it turned out it's just a triple clamp. So I thought I'll order a new set of hangers, and look at them over there. They're high.
Fuck the high,
mate,
man.
They're big. They're
enduros. Yep.
They're like ape hangers. So.
Is this a new style? You think you're starting a new trend that this is the way to go to sand race?
He's been walking around the gym like this with his arms up, with pumpkins under his arms.
And
he thought I need the bars to suit it.
They're usually 70 mil. From your triple clamp or your clamps up, and these are 140 or 150.
Yeah.
So I'm 80 mil higher, and they bend back a little bit. So that's a strategy where
look faster.
I said
they look faster than Stiffy's ones. So.
Yeah,
I felt faster.
I reckon you got this.
Where's your bar pad, bro? You got a bar pad?
Yeah, it's that tight between that and my steering dampener. I haven't put it on yet.
Oh, okay.
Literally got to lift it the steering dampener and get today. In there. And, cool. So that's something else we throw on these bikes. Steering dampener is a must in the sand.
Yep.
100%.
Because that front tire just goes fucking hello. Mm-hmm. It is left and right. Here comes a chili. We're getting chilies thrown at us in the crowd because I've been rimming everyone beer. Beer tonight.
Haven't ya?
Get out of it. So,
there goes the chili. Yeah. Straight in the fucking beer. Well done.
So, between that and steg pegs, get that right gearing, your suspension set, and send it in the sand.
Yeah. Mm.
Send it in the sand. So, I'll just have it.
Oh, get that in.
Oh, you fucking hot bitch.
So, this is our 6th year doing this. Yeah. How long do you reckon we can continue this? What do you reckon?
Each year I say, that's it. That's it for me.
Just each year, just keep next year.
Next year. And then I think when I'm in the race, I'm like, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
And then I think I'm going to come back and do it again.
Yeah.
While I'm still fit and able.
Yeah.
And as we grow older, next year will be in the Masters. Diffie, you're in the Masters this year, aren't
correct.
You?
Correct. Yeah, I'm in the old farts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And but I'll tell you what though, Todd, mate, you are looking so much fitter this year. Than last year.
Mm. Yeah.
I think you can fucking take it on him.
Yeah, yeah. Like oh, yeah. I think your nipples are safe, Barney.
Yeah.
I've been in the gym this year. Last year I was on the VB train. Fuck, yeah. I love the VB. I was just
mate, this
of
year I think fucking Stiffy has something really, really to worry about.
Yeah, not worried at all.
Yeah.
I feel that pressure.
Yeah, it's good. Mm.
There's a bit of pressure going on.
No, but you're right about... you know, finishing your race, one thing is
well, you've got to finish it to win it, so.
I remember if we turn the clock back, this whole show really started a long time ago, as in Don River was 2020, our first event here.
Yeah.
But you got to turn the clock back even 5 years before that when, I guess when we all did our first Fink race together. But Joy, you did it a couple of years before that as well. So really this whole desert racing... sand racing, high speed, fucking, you know, crate.
2013, I think.
2013 was the first time you did Fink?
Yeah, I didn't even get out of prologue. I crashed in prologue, done my shoulder, ripped all four muscles off the bone.
Yep.
Yeah.
Nice. But that was, that's the start of it. I remember back in 2012, like you were saying, let's do the Fink Desert Race, you know? And it's just like one of those things where you're like, oh, fuck, I don't know if I can. But fast forward to 2015, you broke your leg, Todd.
Yeah.
So you were our crew chief and fucking support runner in that Hilux.
Yeah, and that was being out on the piss. I haven't broken
and
a bone
broke
riding
your leg.
A bike.
You weren't even riding, so you broke your leg.
Yeah.
And you're just crew chief.
But this whole thing started back then, back in 2015.
That's
and
right.
I remember when I crossed that finish line in 2015 after my first ever big desert race, I went, I am fucking coming back.
Yeah, it's that.
I ain't fucking coming back.
It breaks you down physically, and on day one breaks you down physically over 240 odd kilometers. Day two breaks you down physically early, and then mentally from 120 k's out.
Yeah,
and that mental, like dig deep well sort of style is like, I actually need to build or get all of the resilience that I've ever built in my body to get over that line.
Yep.
And then you get a Fink peg, which is a dog spike from the old Garn railway line. And that's to finish the Fink and have a Fink peg, and we've got multiple now, or we all do, is something that people can go and search for that goal for years and either have a DNF through an injury or a bike. Very harsh on the bike, so a mechanical, a rear tire, a front tire, a tube,
an engine,
whatever it is. And people search for that for so long. So we're pretty fortunate to be able to have multiple pegs.
Absolutely.
On our bench.
And also the opportunity to do it. And I know that after I finished that first one, I said, I ain't never coming back. Now, we finished it. We got on the piss that night. I think we flew home or drove home. I can't remember. But literally within days after that Fink race was done, something turned in my head, and I'm just like, fuck, I got to go back.
Yeah.
I need to go back. And then there was that process of, right, I want to chase it again. But when it's funny how you finish a race and you're just like, I'm done. I ain't never doing this again.
You improve every year.
Absolutely.
You
look at
the track changes every year, but your times continue to improve, and then you start the goal setting. So
yes,
we could be in the gym or we could be out riding bikes, and we're always thinking, I've got Fink coming up, and that's what I want to drive to. So like you say, get out of your head, mm-hmm. get in the shed, and it just drives his passion to be able to have these goals set year on year on year.
Yeah,
it's
exactly.
really, really cool.
Yeah, exactly. And I want to thank you guys, because for me, this whole started because you guys go, let's go to the fucking Fink Desert race. And, you know, I've done that Fink Desert race. I finished 6 times. But without you guys going, fucking, we should do this. I would never have done it. So, you know, my hats go off to you. I'm thankful, but also, I've lost it. My appreciation is there.
So the journey's been good.
Fuck off with the journey. You fuckhead. Without that, I guess, group that we've got here, that I would never have ever done a Fink Desert race. And that's just something that is awesome, because, you know, you look at it and it's a proud moment of like, fuck yeah, I did one. But then it doesn't just end with one. It goes into a second one, and a third one, and a fourth one. And then look what we've grown in here now with this community that we've got, with friends and family supporting us now. It's fucking phenomenal. Yeah. And anyone can do this.
Yeah, well, thinking of that, we're running pretty budget.
Mm.
And when we look, the bike setups we've got, we all bought 2012 WR450s. That way we thought we can go and ride them in the sand, we can ride them with number plates on, but the 2012 450 for the three of us were all the same bike. So we were starting off with the exact same horsepower, the exact same bike.
Yep.
When we got gold valves in a many, many years later, which increased all the suspension and suspension performance, which is probably still primitive compared to the pros.
Correct.
But at the end of the day, we're still running budget bikes, 2012 bikes, and we're in 2025. We could go out and buy new bikes. It's going to be $25,000 a setup. So $75,000 investment. We've spent nothing. We probably haven't spent more than $10,000 on these bikes. So anyone out there that thinks that it's a sport that costs a lot of money, it actually doesn't, to enter and to go out there and give it a crack.
Absolutely.
And go out and just do it, because it's not about the trophy, because the trophy's not going to fucking bring you $1 million or anything. So.
I'm not about the trophy. Nah. My name's not on it, so I don't really care.
I'm not this trophy anyway, but the Fink one, sir.
Yeah.
I reckon I'd actually do the Fink on that, the last Yemi. On the back, the last blue one.
The Domino's
one. I actually think that is probably my bike to fucking do Fink on. So.
It's pretty good. The boys,
I'd actually give it a go.
Boys bought a Domino step through up this year, and we've been running around on that throughout the showgrounds and that. And this young kid just came up before. He's got 3 empty Domino's boxes and goes, "Here, do you want these?" To put him in the back.
You
do.
And the people around this event, you know, we've got good neighbours, we've got people we see every year, and it's the camaraderie between the camp and all our friends and family that are with this setup.
Yeah.
But it's the other people and the people that you meet and you see year in, year out, and newer people that is great to have that chat as well.
Definitely.
On different levels, and see where they come from. What they're racing, and not a lot of people throw a lot of money into this. So anyone can do it, to get up here and give it a bit of a go.
Give it a go. The first time, make it better next year. The year after, be fitter.
Mm.
The year after that, be better than Stiffy. Don't get nipple rings.
I mean, I was having a yarn to our neighbour last year. They're running trophy truck, buggies. They've got a fairly big setup. We said, "Can we borrow your pressure washer to wash the bikes down?" He said, "Yeah, no problems." And he said, one of the guys said, "Look, why you guys are riding the bikes again? I thought you would have upgraded, same old bikes." Yep, all good. He said, "Whose name's going on the trophy?" So they know that we have got our own trophy, which is really cool.
Yeah, absolutely. Yep. A massive shout out also, when you were talking about the river itself and people in the community, we've got to give a massive shout out to the Burdekin Motorsports Club, I guess, because without them guys, none of this ever happens. So all we can do is shout out to them guys, and thanks very much for putting on a fucking awesome event, and hopefully it continues. And you know,
well, what a great committee as well. We've phoned them and personally spoken to them since 2020, and they've always been super welcoming. They've been very helpful, and to bring us and people from all around the country into their community for this whole weekend is fantastic. The Friday night is important for the community, so we line up, and it's compulsory for all the competitors to line all your bikes and buggies up around the arena here in the showgrounds, and that brings the whole community in, and everybody, they do food and bands and everything inside the in the showgrounds, and the community all get together, and what a fantastic event for this region. And it's a compliment to the motorsport.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Great part of the world.
Well, you can't have any other place in Australia with this racetrack because it's unique to Bowen. There's no other racetrack. There's no other river system that can allow you to race a 50-kilometre loop inside a river.
And how wide's that river?
Fucking massive, bro.
It is so wide.
Down at the pits there, it must be 400 or 500 meters
to get
wide.
To visualize it for or 300, any of the 300, listeners 400? Out there, like it'd have to be 60-70 meters wide, and it was only earlier this year that it would be 15 meters deep.
That's the track each way. But I think you're right, Stevie. It like could be across up to 300 meters wide.
Yeah. Down at the pits there. Yeah, it's fucking it's from bank to bank.
Yeah,
not just from race line to race line is a lot skinnier, but from bank to bank where the water would flow in flood in wet season, that fucking thing is at least it's more than 200.
Oh, it's big more than 200.
Yeah, I know.
The only thing I want to see is wide tomorrow or in the next day is fucking...
Elbows,
mate. I want to see elbows wide when fucking Stiffy's coming up behind.
I think, Joy, you've got some hot tips for the race this weekend with tight lines and things like that. Like, what's a bit of motivation that you can probably pass on to the younger fellas? Like, if you were to give them any encouragement about staying safe.
Well, in 2021... I took off in my van over there. We've got on Nico as you walk in the van all of our prologue times, and I was the worst prologue time, which meant I started in 400 and something place out of 600 odd riders. Gooned it properly, 7 minutes. You guys are down around the 5 minutes. Anyway, strategy or not, I took off and I rode like tight lines. I rode edge of tracks, less whoops on that in that time. Doesn't work every time for those of you playing at home. But for me, it was actually really good. So we got down to the Fink, and you camp down at the Fink, the indigenous community down there, and you rip open your bike. You're like, okay, we'll check the air filters, we'll check all this stuff. So we went through the bikes and we checked the guys' air filters. All good, they need changing. Mm. Pretty dusty. Like, you guys have worked pretty hard today.
Yeah.
They rip mine open, Todd goes, holy fuck, yours ain't even dirty. Do you even ride? I'm like, tight lines, bruvs.
Yeah. Tight lines.
So my advice is tight lines.
Tight lines.
He had grass and shit hanging out beside his boots. Radiator.
Like, trees. Parts of cars trees on the side of the road.
Yeah. So I didn't say, definitely did tight lines. Yeah, like, he
say
was
tight
wide.
Lines for nothing. Tight lines.
He's outside. On the outside.
It sounds like a fishing
yard. Right now, we're fucking already at 55 minutes. I'm going to take a piss, guys, then we might wrap it up soon. Hang on a sec.
Today's episode is also brought to you by TC Coolers. If you're looking for something unique, some custom gear to make your business stand out or your man cave even better,
then TC Coolers has you covered. TC specializes in custom stubby coolers, air fresheners, drink coasters, trucker haps, and much, much more.
And if you've got an idea, Thomas will make it happen. From design to delivery, he will ensure pickup is quick with top-notch quality.
Whether it's for your business, branding, party favours, or just to add a personal touch to your space, then they can do it all. Visit TC Coolers on Facebook today and let's bring your vision to life.
You cunts are fucking off your head.
We are so.
Like, seriously, we'd go for a piss, come back, and this fucking chili's getting...
How about let's just crack a tin?
Let's crack one.
Right, you want me to go first?
Yeah, you go first.
Yeah, that was pretty sad.
That was pretty soft.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that was good.
Ooh, not bad.
Right, yeah. Go, Joy.
Oh,
it's a boy. It's a boy.
Shit went everywhere. All right, here we go.
Oh, look at this. He does look like Dobby or fucking Lord of the Rings when he does that.
Nah, good cracking, guys.
Yeah. Oh, was I pulling a face?
No. I actually, we should go left to right, though. So you have...
Yeah.
How's that?
Ooh. Fucking chilly.
It's fucking
good. Who rimmed it? Who wants it? Fuck.
There's been a bit of a fucking ongoing fucking rimming of fucking chilly around your drink of a night.
The local community here, they do a fair bit of small crop. And so we got delivered some chilies today from the local community.
You right over there, Barney?
Is that where you got them from? The locals?
Yeah, and they sell to Woolworths and the big players and that, but they love selling to locals and community. So one of our friends, our locals, called in today that we know back from our hometown, Beaudesert, and dropped off some chilies. So Todd's been playing this funny game, well, funny for him, that every time, here I am working on his bike, and I'd put my beer down, turn my back, and he'd rim my drink with a chili all night. Yeah. He's been doing it all night.
Who wants it?
So now it's my turn. So I just rimmed his drink.
Yep.
Got one back at you.
And my lips are burning. Actually doesn't look hurt
your
at
lips
all.
Are burning. Yeah,
you do actually look like you've had a bit of Botox though.
Next
she's starting to swell a little bit.
Next time good we for want photos.
Yes. Trinidad Scorpions.
Yeah.
Trinidad.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just saying, remember this chair you bought up the first year? I'm in the rocker.
Yep.
If you're listening, you probably can't see it, but this has got suspension on it. I'm stoked to be in this chair tonight.
Yeah, it's an everywhere it's chair. I've taken that fucking lot of places, bruz. She's pretty good.
I do like that chair. I do not like the chilies, and I have not been chilied yet. So. Mm.
Yeah. That sounds like a
that's not
challenge.
A fucking, that's not a challenge either, by the way.
Righto, so a little bit more about the race before we end tonight. Todd, what's your strategy with... preparation for yourself, as in, are you running any rock tape for your hands? Oh. Because we know that you've got the softest fucking hands in Australia.
Yeah, the first couple of years, it tore my hands to pieces. So until we discovered rock tape and taped them correctly, I will be taping my hands up again.
Just explain how it tore your hands to pieces.
Well, literally blisters throughout... my whole.
So
hand.
Is that the night before, like when you were laying in bed in the swag or anything like that, or is that on the bike?
It's pretty brutal. I think even after day one, my hands were that blistered up.
Mm.
I'd jump on the bike on day two, just put the gloves on and ride, and still beat them. but I was in some serious pain. So you're mentally doing not only physical, then mentally, and then you're fucking pain. So
yeah.
Other preparation is stretching. Is a good bit of stretching, staying off the piss apart from tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Lots of water, hydration, and we run these energy shots each lap, so that gives us awesome lollies or something like that, and that spikes your sugars.
Yeah,
and you feel that within 10 or 15 minutes of that lap, and you're like, fuck yeah, now. Yep. It's
you're ready
good.
To
so
go.
Yep. You're not fatiguing out basically because it is a long race.
It is
over 2 days.
When you're doing the race, like if we convert it back to the Fink Desert race, they've got 10 kilometer bonnets. Actually, this year they had 5 kilometer bonnets. It was every five kilometers there was bonnets this year. So it was I think this was the first year they did it, but they've got like those checkpoints where you go right. You're counting down 10K bonnets, right?
Mm-hmm.
With this year, what do you do, or what, with the Don River for you guys? How do you mentally do your laps? Like, do you do it lap by lap, or have you got markers around the track that you sort of go, right, I'm here now?
I've got physical markers in my head.
Yep. So
that I go, yep, you've ticked that bit off.
Yep.
You know that there's a tricky rock section. You know you've got a water section coming up. You know you've got a whoop section coming up.
Yep.
And you'll tick them off through your mind to go, okay, you've completed that. Now focus on the next bit.
Yeah. Yep.
focus on the next bit. And the one of the trickiest parts is when that steering dampener is wound all the way up and you've got a tight corner at each of the ends.
Yeah.
Or you come into a tricky water crossing or situation where you have to slow right down. Man.
It's a struggle.
You cannot steer properly.
Can't
probably. Probably.
And you're probably going to fall over. How do you go today, Joy, when you got sprayed by Zep and we're pre-running and what happened there?
Oh, I mean, I tripped backwards. I wasn't on my bike and then I fell over backwards onto my bike and the bike fell over. So it was a bit of carnage. No one was hurt in that production.
But you didn't have a steering dampener on.
No, I didn't. And there was another section where I whooped past you guys without the steering dampener. I thought, if I come off here and it's a steering dampener issue, I'm not on the race bike. I'm just on a chase bike. So it's going to be, it's going to hurt. Yeah.
So that's my prep.
Yeah, and I'll tell you what, there's more banter than racing in this fucking Don River at the moment.
Joy, have you got any prep that you'd normally do, like what Toto's sort of talking about?
2021 for me, up here, wasn't a great year up here, but we got through it mentally. I've been back here a couple of times to race, doing the, what do they do it? The two up?
Teams.
Yeah, the teams. Yeah. What else do they call it? Call it something else. Anyway,
half an event?
No. Not what you call
it's just
it.
It's just teams, isn't it?
There's something else is they there? Call it.
Oh, okay.
For me, I think like
Pony
Toto
Express,
said.
Is it?
Yeah, the Pony Express. Pony. So you sort of, they do it in 8 hours. So you can do it with two or three or four of your mates and you keep swapping out and it's actually quite good. The camaraderie is good. So me and mate Steve-O have done it for the last few years. We haven't built a trophy for that because we've won every year. but again, you know, there's not much competition. So, you know, today I got the chance to pre-run with the guys, which wasn't on my bike. Young Zeppy, my nephew's riding my bike, and we just tuned a few things up. I was on another bike with no spec, but I just got the bug today.
Mm.
And I thought, I've been in the gym with Toto, and I thought, you know what? I really should have entered.
Could have, yeah, should have.
And could have, should have, would have.
Yeah.
And I didn't. But I'll be happy supporting. Yeah. But for me, back to it, yeah, the stretching is important and all of the work that we've done up until this point is super important. And it's important mentally and it's important physically as well. And for me, the checkpoints, if I think about that, definitely the two ends, the two turns are big checkpoints because you know that's 25Ks done. And the fuel point is also another massive checkpoint because you get that time to regroup and rest. And although it might only be a minute or two, it really changes your next session mentally because you've just your arms have had time to rest, your legs, maybe your lower back, wherever you're working hard.
Yeah, absolutely.
And you're just feeling, then the sugar kicks in, you're feeling a little bit refreshed from either red frogs or snakes or whatever it is.
Yeah. And another question I've got for both of you is which way do you feel more confident, as in going up the river? Do you favour going up the river or do you like coming down the river? Like, do you have one way that you feel more comfortable or confident?
Definitely. I'd say down. Down the river.
Down the river. I'm down the river too.
What are
I'd
you?
Say coming back.
Yeah, coming back.
Coming back. Once I've done the turn,
coming back
you can hold it on.
Yeah,
it is,
yeah.
It's technical and tricky on the way down.
Up, yeah, up. Well,
yeah, up.
Up the river. Okay, so out.
So up the river.
Because water flows down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, water flows down the river.
True.
Yeah.
Southbound.
Yeah, so
southbound.
Yeah, so
southbound.
Yeah.
So that way coming home, all three of us
up the river is
more demanding on the body. There's more things, like you said, there's more technical things going on, isn't there?
Yeah.
Going up the river.
Yeah.
Yeah, so coming back's our favourite.
I think it's high speed. I would say it's a smoother track, if you call it smoother.
When you're coming.
Less whoops, less technical.
Yeah.
More holder open, wide.
Wide open.
Wide open.
Yeah.
And you've got, because the pits are on the way back.
You've got that brake.
Yeah, you've got the brake. And then once you come out of the pits before the bottom end turn, the down water turn.
Yep.
It's how many Ks out of the pits would it be? Maybe.
Oh,
four or five
yeah. K. So I suppose you're getting a break before you have to then go the big journey.
Back up the river.
Yeah. Do the turn and go back up the river technical, and you've got no break time. And then you've got to turn, and then you've got to hold onto it and hold it flat. Mm. And it was the up river part where I suffered a little bit of talent loss.
Yeah.
Ran out of talent.
Yep. Yeah, no, I agree with that. Coming back home towards the pits is always that favourite run. And geographically, there's markers as well. Like, you're coming back down the river, back towards the pits, and you've got the bridges, you've got the railway rocks. Crossing, and you've got the Bruce Highway. And especially on the last lap on Saturday and the last lap on Sunday, it's just I can see home, I can smell it, I can sniff it. It's kind of like we're nearly there. We're nearly at the end. Or even like, you know, after lap two, when you're going out for that last lap, it's like, righto, Steve. It's the last lap. Just go out and do the same what you just done.
Yes.
But, you know, on the way up is a little bit technically and a little bit more demanding on the body, but that way home just feels so much easier.
First lap on race day one and two is where's the track at?
Yeah.
So you are turning around going, where is this track at after the buggies are gone through?
Yeah.
What has changed? Has their water been pumped up?
Yep.
What line am I going to hit across the water crossings? Where am I going to hit them? Yep. What's deepest? How do you pick the water? The water is so difficult to pick.
Yep.
You know, the length of that water, how deep it is. Mm-hmm. And that is a technical challenge that probably, you don't know how fast to hit it. You don't know where to lift the front wheel.
It's kind of just fucking suck it and see and hang the fuck
it
on,
is
isn't it?
Pretty much, yes. Yep. And there's boulders coming out.
I think
out,
in them first two laps, you'll see guys cut past you on a different line. You're like, I'm fucking trying that next.
Yep.
So usually the third lap, you've got your line sorted.
Yes.
And then it's your nicest lap, in your cleanest lap from a line point of view.
Yes.
But from a fatigue point of view, it's your fuckedest lap.
Yeah.
You got arm palm, you got a bit going on.
And there's also another element, the wind. Now, that river, down inside the river, you think you're down and protected inside the river, but you're fucking not. There's a headwind. When you're going up that river, heading southbound, the wind that comes down feels like a fucking... It feels like it's slowing you down 20 kilometers an hour. It's and it's hard on you, isn't it?
Yeah.
Where the difference coming back down the river, you've got a tailwind then, and it just seems to be a bit easier. So that element of wind too is another factor of fucking fatigue. Yeah. And you guys have experienced that, like with the wind, you agree?
Yeah. And it's a strategy with how many bikes are in front of me, where am I at, how much dust am I sucking in, and what does that look like? Can I see a clean track? You know, Fink is terrible for that.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Think you want the wind, to blow that dust off.
You want the wind, correct. And then you want to ride the upwind side of if it's blown sideways.
Yeah.
So it's you've advantageous if the wind cuts across the track, because then you'll go on the upwind side if that's your favourite line.
Yeah.
And if it's not your favourite line, then at least you can see your non-favourite line.
Yeah. And any of our listeners listening at home after this, overcome. I hope they get a better understanding that it's not just a... You're not just going and get it flat. There's so many different elements to the racetrack, as wind and weather and rocks and water crossings and fucking sand. And it's not just sand, it's fucking broken down rock.
It's coarse fucking rivers.
Yeah, it's cool. So it's a unique racetrack. I fucking love it. Love every part of it.
You may have a strategy, but it changes. You may have a race line, but it changes. Yeah, you know, correct. Depending on who's in front, what's going on, where you're at.
Yep.
And there's jumps.
Yeah.
There's massive jumps, and you don't know what the other side looks. So you can hold them fourth and fifth, hit these jumps, and you're like, oh, my God, what is on the other side?
Mm-hmm.
It is just sand. It is whoops. Yeah, so exactly you're holding it on. So
the buggies go first.
Yeah.
So that changes the track from where you've raced along. And now it's, you got square edges, you're... Now it looked different from when you actually race it. So,
First lap of each day is like, okay, what am I going into because of the buggies?
Yeah,
and I think this event is so cool because from a spectator point of view, there's lots of action on the track. So, and I don't want to discount the Fink, because the Fink is just they class it as the toughest 2-day enduro event possibly in the world.
Yeah.
Like it's actually quite complex. Logistically hard to get to.
Yep.
Logistically hard to navigate while you're there.
Mm-hmm.
And the favourite part about this, and what we tend to love about this race is the way you can bring your family. And as Todd said earlier, you've got your home ground here where you camp. And from a spectator point of view, you can actually go out to the track and you can watch the circuit. And that, yes, they're 50K circuits, but you get to see some really cool trophy trucks, some really cool top-class buggies, and the side-by-sides, and then the bikes come through in the afternoon.
It's got a lot going for it, hasn't it?
Sure does.
For spectators, for everything.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's a cracking race. Bowen is just going to turn it on again. The weather seems to be pretty favourable. I did look at the weather app. They're saying it's going to be a bit blowing here in Bowen. But it's always changing, so let's just
I think that's
see.
Pretty normal. Even if it's not blowing, it will be blowing in Bowen.
Yeah,
100%. But Steve, just one question that Todd asked me to ask you because he didn't want to ask you.
Oh, okay.
He said, can you ask Stiffy if there's a strategy he did not want to share with anybody else? Can he just share it with the punters at home? And Todd would be happy to take his... listening device off, right?
Can you?
So what would it be if he didn't want to share?
What's your strategy
that you wouldn't tell anybody else? Right, what are you doing?
So
up
hit the
to?
Button to turn mine.
Yeah, I'll turn Todd off.
Off.
So okay. And this is just for the people playing at home.
Maybe we could put down the code of silence.
Yeah, the code of silence.
Is there a code of silence?
I'm sure there is somewhere.
Let's just lock fucking Toto out of this altogether.
Yeah.
It's here somewhere.
Yeah. And I won't
right, fellas,
share.
I'll just hang here a minute.
Just as long as Toto doesn't listen to it. There it is.
Oh, fuck, it's got a hard knock there at the end.
It fucking does, Hello? Mate. You need to adjust Hello? That fucking thing.
Yeah.
Hello?
So I'm going to start playing a bit of a strategy game over the weekend. Some of my strategy, Jai, is I'm going to play with his head a bit before Excellent. The race even starts. We're going to fuck with Todd's head. Not only Todd's head, we got Jacko and Zeppy. There's a lot of shenanigans going to happen.
Todd just looked at me and he said, I can't hear a fucking thing.
Yeah, no, he can't hear us. I've got some bike strategy going on as well. So
he's out there chasing the squirrel.
I've taken all the...
And there's no squirrels here.
I've taken all the air out of my tubes, out of my tyres. And I've bought some premium air and put in there.
Oh, did ya?
Yeah. So... There's a bit going on with the tyres.
Yep.
Chain and sprockets. Sensational. Chain and sprockets wise, I've got a special chain out of Japan that's got some fucking O-rings and X-rings.
Elon's
there's a bit going on there as well. Come race day, I've got a few shenanigans as well I'm playing. But I tell you what, I think the bike has still got some problems. And we'll see if that they come to play on.
Actually, Oba doesn't. And as you said earlier, I mean... We want a fair race, and if all four bikes can start and finish, and we have a fair race, and the name is on the trophy as a fair race, and it's always fair whether you fuck up or not, so it doesn't matter. But if it's fair, it's actually fair.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And it depends. Sometimes you end up with the fucking dick and balls on your fucking helmet.
So
on your helmet.
That should be
your tire.
Yeah, that should be a couple of fucking points off too. So
no, I've got a few strategies I'm playing this weekend, so please don't tell Todd that.
The premium air one is one that I will not share.
That's good.
That's good.
All right, I'll put this kind of silent up. Just Todd's coming back in the room, so.
Yeah, so anyway, like you were saying there, Stiffy, so you've actually got no strategy.
Shit.
Oh,
you got
what
some
are you stuff
got
going
back.
On,
he's Stiffy?
Yeah, you reckon he's worried?
He's going to share something on, or
you're,
what?
Are you worried?
It was a cone of silence, mate.
Well, I shared my handlebar story with you, and
we'll just have to suck it and see anyway.
There, so, okay.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I hope you haven't greased your seat up or something like that.
Or put chili on fucking shit. Maybe you put some fucking
On his fucking
actually,
seat.
Actually, I
for
do
his
not
balls.
Want him to win it anyway, so I actually prefer you to win, so I'll fucking talk to you tomorrow morning. I'll talk you through the story. So
okay,
that's good.
Well,
that's good.
Let's just see how this weekend goes. I've got some shit up my sleeves. The trophy though had a really good time in Bow Desert, and it wants to go back. It does.
Good. To Bowie.
It wants to go back to Bowie.
Did you have it to a special shelf for it?
Fucking hope it is. It was on full display. 90.
Mate, you had it every time on the fucking podcast. Every time you fucking start the podcast, he touch it.
Righto. Yeah. Well, I think we've had enough tonight. There's a bit of fucking... Let's get into it. Let's get out of our heads into the sheds one more time. Barney, thanks for again, mate. It's been a pleasure. I like Cheers. This is your first Don River Dash. So
this is my first one, mate. I'm fucking loving it. I'm loving the family vibe, the whole atmosphere. It's brilliant.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I'll be back.
Todd and Jai, thanks very much for coming on tonight's episode. This will be out tomorrow. So listeners, when you're listening to this on Friday, the race hasn't even started yet when you guys start to listen to this.
It started.
The race ends.
It's already fucking
watch
started.
Our socials. I've already put some stuff up on the social media and I'll keep peppering that as well. So jump on to what's our social media, Barney? Where are we going?
Is Instagram, fucking TikTok.
Yeah.
The Facebook, Lads Body. Fucking, yeah. All those ones.
Fucking oath. Well, I'm the stiff man. I'm getting the fuck out of here. Toto.
Thanks for having us, fellas. Been great. And good luck, Stiffy.
Yeah, good luck, Toto.
He's going to fucking need it. He's going to need it.
It's going to go on for days.
Yeah.
Yeah, look, thanks, fellas. Really appreciate that you give us plenty of time to think about coming on this podcast.
Yeah.
fucking half an hour before they sent this.
Not even. I think it was 3.5 minutes.
They said, hey, fellas, we're going to get you on the podcast.
No,
it's been really cool chatting. And hopefully you guys listening can come up to the Don and open that throttle up and hold a flat.
Also, if anyone's listening, everyone that's listening, Justin Ryder will be the buggy that we always talk about. We will be having a live stream with our YouTube channel on Crew 627. So anyone that wants to have a watch on Saturday and Sunday, we'll put our links out on those days regarding the in-car footage from the buggy.
It's a good watch. So
absolutely.
Get about it. So, and I'd also like to thank Black Cat Civil for the ongoing support and meeting you blokes and just fucking, great knowing you. So, cheers.
Righto. I'm the stiff man. I'll get the fuck out of here.
Thanks, fellas.
See you, bye.
Thanks.
Come on, let's go. I don't know what comes next, but I couldn't care less. I refuse.